All right, so let's start here. Our last Kabura. I wanted to just take a quick look at this last remaining issue in Bailobimo, which is also relevant for some broader discussions in Schiras Poalim. And that is, when does the Schiras begin? When does an employment relationship begin, or this relationship of being in the service of somebody else commence, such that Bailobimo will be triggered? And the point of departure for the discussion is Mishnah's implication that a poel is niknet with a mita, simply with a verbal assent, verbal acquiescence, which is quite a chiddush because normally the halacha requires kinyanim, right? But this Mishnah seems to imply that a poel is niknet through amira alone. So let's just look at the Gemara. The Mishnah had said, Hashoel Esapara, Shal Esapara, Ubaileha Ima. Sorry, does anybody have the language of the Mishnah open in front of them? I'll pull it open right here. How is it not on the... Oh, it is on the source sheet. It's just not in this section. But the language of the Mishnah on Sadi Dalid... is a shoel as para vishal bailao ima. So you're shoel as the para and you're shoel the bailam together with it. And the Gemara asks, Yakir, do you see this Gemara? You want to just take us through this back and forth?
Yeah. So the Gemara asks, but can I see how rach kach shoel as the para hold reshak tani ima mamish? Ima mamish mish kachas la par mishicha bailam ba amira. So the Gemara asks, how could it be? The Mishnah implies that you have a case that you have simultaneous kinyanim on both the para and the bailim, but how could that be if the para requires mashicha and the bailim your kona just through the verbal agreements?
Yeah, so the Gemara's assumption here is that bailim ba amira, that you could be kona bailim, you could be kona poel, simply through this verbal assent, right, Yakir?
Yep.
Yeah, now the Gemara's issue is how do you get the simultaneity? How are you kona the bailim at the same moment that you're kona the para requires mashicha? The Gemara gives two answers. It does not challenge the poel ba'amira part of it. What does it challenge, or what does it suggest?
So it says, Yimayzema, option one, can the kind of para b'chatek shalda v'chasa m'shicha. So you could have a case where even the para can be nicknamed ba'amira if it's already in the chatzar of the shoel. Or Yimayzema, da'amar la'akir chalizal, chas m'shicha's parasa. Or you can artificially delay the kinyan of the violin by stipulating that.
Exactly. Basically two ways of gerrymandering simultaneity, but never rejecting the assumption that the poel is nikneh with amira alone. And you can see Rashi here says, Yakir, just take us to Rashi, bailam ba'amira.
Rashi says, bailam ba'amira, mish'amra lahare parasi, va'ani nish'ali lahare rehevi gufo sha'ola.
Yeah. So once you say that I am Shaul to you, Gufo Shaulo. So Rashi seems to emphasize that Amira alone, just saying that, is sufficient to trigger this employment relationship. Now, a lot of Rishonim are puzzled by this. Some Minasvara, just everywhere else in Halacha, we seem to require a Kinyan to trigger some legally binding monetary relationship. So why over here is Amira sufficient? There's also internal evidence in the Gemara within the Sugya that seems to imply that Amira is not sufficient. So we'll look at both of those types of arguments. Just one being like a conceptual argument, why is there no need for Kinyan? And one being more of a textual argument that there's contrary evidence with regard to Schiras Poalim and the Gemara's elsewhere. So the Ravid steps in here. The Ravid has something to say about this. Adam, did you get a chance to see this Ravid?
Yeah.
Was that a yes?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Okay.
It sounded like some sort of grunt, but I wasn't sure if it was an affirmative grunt or a negative grunt.
Apparently my voice is so deep, everything sounds like a grunt.
Okay. So what does the Ravid say here? What's his first approach? Hi, Amira.
I mean, a lot of mir v'luchuri. It's not just that. The habayi had chalav the malacha or behelicha the malacha. Right? He did something like he started the malacha or he walked towards doing the malacha. Like even she'amar lo hishani pratiach of dasha'ali with tisha'ali, and rather since he's she'amar lo hishani pratiach, lend me your cow with tisha'ali and request also her neima. Keep on she'hitchil alach im parto. Since he now started to walk with the actual cow. He hasn't even left the house yet. He's already started his work, his service.
So the legal relationship is binding. So what's the Ravid's main move here? Does he like the suggestion that verbal assent is sufficient to start the legal relationship?
No, he thinks there needs to be a little more. He needs some type of at least action.
Exactly. You need us chalas amalacha. That's really the argument. And even though the Gemara says Amira, the Ravid's point is Amira is lav dafka. There's no binding, hoel relationship until there is haskala samlacha, which is an interesting view. He has to reread the Gemara a little bit, but he's insisting that there's some sort of kinyan that's required. Okay, inami, and here he has a second suggestion. Go ahead.
This is only by something that actually has mamona attached to it. About teromot, but something that's just would result in arguments against each other, but no actual mamon transfer.
Or like a legal grievance, right?
Like we saw last year.
Exactly.
Right, you wouldn't have that because it's not like. What's shalok din? It's not like the same rules like the neder.
Nah, shalok din avdei, meaning you did something morally wrong. So his point is that maybe the Ravid's walking back his first answer, and he's saying maybe the requirement of aschalas malacha, which is the sense you get from the Gemara in Asochra Sa'umnim, they require aschalas malacha for there to be a kinyan. The Ramban was explicit about that in Asochra Sa'umnim. Maybe the requirement for aschalas malacha is only to level a financial claim against the worker and say, oh, you have to reimburse me for damages, or I could penalize you for not showing up or backing out, etc. But everybody agrees there's a moral grievance. There's taromes. There's a right to taromes once the poel verbally assents to work for you. Therefore, alma kol hecha.
Right, the little hajib hu bamira, anytime he now doesn't retract with Amira.
Amma kol hecha de lo hadri behu.
Anytime he doesn't, what's hadri? Just stop retract. Amira amma shodin. The Amira itself is now enough to consider himself shodin.
Exactly. So in the second answer, the Ravid says, look, really, you're considered work in the service of the Bailim. You're considered a poel from the moment you verbally assent. What do you do with that Gemara in Asochar Asa Umnim, which implies that you need Aschalas Malacha? That's a special rule about pursuing damages. To pursue damages, you need Aschalas Malacha from the Poel. But if you're just pursuing something less than damages, like a moral grievance or Bailavimo, then from that perspective, the Poel is Niknev with just Amira. You guys see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kira, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have two deas in the Ravid about two things. We have two deas about number one, is do you require aschalas hamalacha for Paul to be niknat? So the Ravid has two deas about that. Number two, the Ravid has two deos about whether the standard of being niknat for to be a poel is the same with regard to suing the poel for damages as it is for bailavimo. According to the first answer, both monetary damages and bailavimo require aschalas hamalacha. According to the second answer, aschalas hamalacha is a unique din in pursuing financial damages. For anything other than that, a poel is nikna ready mishas amira. Okay, good.
Question about your use of the words, like the words kol being nikna.
Yeah.
Is Rabbi necessarily using that type of framework over here? or are you just opting to use that descriptively?
He says Bamira Ba'alma Shu'ulininu, which to my mind sounds that you're considered like you know, working for him. You're considered in his service with just Amira alone. Mm-hmm. That's how I read it. And again, here it's added the Gemara Nayin Vav in Vav Mitzina Sofer Zomim, which we saw last year, which is really what's motivating the Ravid and other Rishonim to lean on Haskalah Samalacha, right? Because there the Gemara distinguishes Bamadar Mum Shalo Holchu Kodem Halicha. You could just have a moral grievance, you just have taromes, but once they're holeich, then you could sue for damages, no salam schar mishaleh. So that's part of what's motivating the Ravid's discussion. Okay. Now, the Rishonim are bothered by textual evidence from other sugyas. So far the Ravid implicitly leaned on Ayin Vav. Other Rishonim, like Tosos, Tosavina Peretz, the Rush, all point out that there are two other Gemaras that are relevant that seem to contradict the first Gemara's claim that a Poel is Nikne Ba'amira. So, Yakir, did you get a chance to see this Rush yet?
I think so, but it was a little while ago. But
okay.
I can read through it anyway.
Yeah, so why don't you read through us from the beginning here?
So Amar Vashi Haman divided the Mishal Midi Mechavri Miftar Nimali Ashken Maya Davishel Vaile Vipiach Vipiach Idri Idach Nibalai Mishal Brish of other Ishti Amar Abba Mikudar Deke Shasal Tafkul Vinur Savar Masaklin Vinur Tagishel Vaile Mu. These are the two Gemaras that we saw.
Exactly. The two Rava Gemaras. Notice that the Gemara though says for the Mikudar Deke Shasal Tafka, they're only considered b'idin avidatayu k'sheil of the violin. And so the Rush now has a diak, tema.
Tema dachabashma davka b'idin avidatayu al-breish perkin amar b'ilin b'amira alma mishas amira mikrishil of the violin afishalayin luhishil b'malacha.
Okay, so what's the stira?
So here the Gemara says b'idin avidatayu, it sounds like you need to be actually working. But according to our Gemara about b'ilin b'amira, they should be considered nishal prior to starting to work from the moment there's some sort of verbal commitment.
Exactly. Our Gemara implies that a verbal commitment makes you nishal to trigger Baila Bima. Yet the Gemara in Mikri Dar Degi Shasla V'chule implies that it's only B'idan Abidatayu. So how do you reconcile that? So what does the Rush suggest with Tzarech Lomar?
So the idan avitayu is possibly both are lavdafka is what he's going for, but definitely idan avitayu is lavdafka. It's really talking about when they're like getting up and getting ready to go to work. And that's either that's equivalent to amira or that's what amira means in this context.
Right, he reinterprets both. So as long as you're in the process of getting ready for work, right? So when it says amira, it really means preparing for work. So like a type of haskalas malacha, like preparing yourself. And when it says idan avidatayu, it means in work-related things, right? Getting preparation also. But in Achanami, amira alone would not be sufficient according to the Rush. Correct, Jack here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Unless he thinks that like in a one-time case, amira alone is sufficient, but like in a case like this where they're working long-term, then the equivalent of amira has to be getting ready. I'm not sure how exactly to draw the equation, but
interesting. Dibeidan avidetayu lav davka. So even Natayu means like preparing, getting ready, etc. And that's what Amira means over here. Yeah, I guess I understand that. It means Osek the Malacha in some loose sense.
Yeah.
That's how I understand it.
That's implied from the next line when he goes to Ravid.
So Adam, what does it say about the
Raibid? Like, he was a hidchal alachid in Parato, right? That's pretty sure it's talking about, like, our sogia, right? It's not done Nero enough. You need to actually start walking.
Got to be some engagement with Malacha, even if it's preparatory. Yeah, that seems to be the Rush's view. Let's look at Tosos Arena Peretz. So I added this just now. He asked the same stira. Vim Tomar Homerin Kaman Beidan Abidatayu, Mash Madafka Beidan Abidatayu, Avalo Beidan Lo. So how do you reconcile that with Bailam Bamira? The Yishlomar Dahi Kamar, the Him Mishubadim, Lasok Bimelacha. Afilu enam asukim karinan beishela bebailen. V'hachanami hachi kamar, kivan sheshibet atzma lasosim hashoel miyad, af al pisha dayin lo hiskil bimalacha, kivan sheena pona lasos malacha cheres, mishas amira karinan beima bimalachta. I think the Sosabina Pirates goes the exact opposite way of the rush. What's he saying? What's his answer to Yashi Vistira between Amira and Beidan Abidatayu?
The thing is, like, once there's Amira, you need to shabbat yourself.
Exactly. Beidan Abidatayu doesn't mean actually doing work or engaging with Merc. It means being legally obligated to work. And when do you become legally obligated to work? Mishas Amira.
That's very weird, though, because you would assume that there has to be some acceptance of the Amira. Like, anytime anyone passes me in the street and says, "Hey, do me a favor," I'm already mashabi to them.
No, it's the amira.
Assuming. Okay.
Meaning, I'll fix that for you. I'll take care of that for you.
Hmm.
Right. So the chiddush is that idan abidatai doesn't actually mean doing work. It means being legally liable to work, and that's triggered mishas amira. Yakir, do you agree with that reading?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're still.
Go ahead, Adam.
I mean, I think that's a difficult still claim to make when comparing it to the Mikudardiki. Just because in that case, like, they are literally Mishabe to it. Like, that is their means of work. That is their main thing that they do. This is, I'm doing you a favor. Like, I'm not Mishabe to it necessarily right now. Theoretically, I will do this favor for you.
No, so I think he's thinking that if you consent to do a service, that's mishabed you for the service. Like, when it comes to, you know, power of words to bind, you don't need a separate kinyan, right? Let's look at Tosos. What does Tosos here say? Also asking the same stira. Tosos and Tzadal Adam and Aleph. Hiksha Rivam. Damra the Kamandu Pirkin Shas La Tavchum Na Saper Masa Kudon Bidna Bidatayuk Shil Bailam Damu. Same question as everybody else. How do you reconcile Idan Abidatayu with Amira? So you can see Tosas here is like the rush against Rabbeinu Peretz. That Amira alone is insufficient. You need some sort of involvement in some preparatory engagement with Malacha to trigger the employment relationship, right? Bishas halichasan or afilu mazminin atzman lelech. That constitutes Bidna Bidatayu. Right, Yakir, you agree with that? Adam, you agree with that? Okay, good. Let's look here at the Meiri's formulation, and then we'll look at the Meiri and the Or Zeruah. So yeah, Kier, why don't you take us through just the beginning of the Meiri, which is important. Yeah, so what's netar lo bekach? What do you think that means?
He agrees, he commits.
Yeah, you kind of just agree to it. That's sufficient. And he cites our Gemara, he goes through the whole thing. The Lamadnu. Yeah, this sounds to me that the Meiri is drawing a general conclusion from our sugya, that a poel is considered she'ulim to the Baal, meaning, I guess, legally bound to do this work, v'amira levad. Right? It's like there's a general conclusion of sfiras poelim to be drawn from our Gemara, which is amira alone is sufficient to create the binding legal employment relationship. Correct? You guys agree with that reading?
Yep.
Yeah. And then he cites the Ravid, you know, Gdolim Mefarshim disagrees. The Gdolim Mefarshim says, it's not Amir alone, it's Haskala, or Haskala's Malacha, Haskala's Hilach, Lutzorach HaMalacha, blah, blah, blah. Or the Ravid's second answer. But the answer that the Meiri himself offers is to be consistent that we see from our Gemara that Amira alone is sufficient to bind the Poel to his employer. The Or Zeruah also comments on this discussion. Yakir, take us through the Or Zeruah. Shemina Mishmaitin.
Shemina Mishmaitin, Deruvian Shamil Shemin Rain Shalach, Rain Shalov, Vinachalach Serbo, Shiasa Osamalacha, Shinishal Osamasa.
Yeah. So he's thinking, we see from our Gemara that just Amira alone, if you say Harini Sha'olacha, you're Sha'ola and you're not able to be Chozer. But with one caveat. What's that caveat? Uchigon.
Which just lost us Malacha, she'd never abid.
Right. Aval.
Aval Dorshina Abed, Hashemar, Harini Sha'olach, Yachalach, Serbo. Lugami Paul, Shechalach, Serbo, Abed, Filachi, Chashu, Shil, Rylan, Kozman, Shalach, Serbo.
Okay, so I think the Or Zeruah here is agreeing with the Ravid's point, which is that, so he's agreeing with the Meiri's point that Amira alone is sufficient to trigger Sechiras Poalim. Ruben Shamar L'Shimon Areni Shol L'Chari Yisholo V'Enu Yachalach Serbo. But of course, this only makes sense for a Davar Avid, because if a Davar She'enu Avid, we know that a Poal is allowed to be Chozer, K'li B'nei Yisrael Avadim, B'lo Avadim L'Avadim. So the bindingness of the legal relationship is only consequential in a Davar Avid scenario. You guys see that? Yeah. But his legal conclusion is exactly like the Meiri, which is Amira alone is sufficient. And again, you have a clear nafka mina l'inyan she'el b'bailim. Note, what's he saying here in this last, aval davar she'eino avid? So in a davar she'eino aved, are you considered sha'olo mishas amira? I think yes.
Yeah.
Just that you have the ability to be chozer. And the nafka mina is that though you're chozer, it would be considered she'ela b'vaylan. Correct?
Does that have implications when a case where you can't be chozer, but like you illegally are chozer, but you're still considered mishabed in terms of where you've lent to him?
Yeah, I think he's thinking that in a Davar Aved case, Adam, you're talking about?
Yeah.
In a Davar Aved case, I think it's an interesting question. If you're not able to be Chozer, remember we saw this discussion last year, right? Does it mean that it's also for you to be Chozer or that your Chazara is no good?
Right.
You might have an interesting Nafka Mina Linyan Shel Bebailam, right? If you're not able to be Chozer, are you still considered to be in his service, Linyan Shel Bebailam?
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting nafka mina. Okay, we'll come back to this Rabbeinu Baruch actually in let me just add two quick mar makomos to this discussion, to this notion that it's Amira alone is sufficient. Maril in his Tshuva Simen Kufay and Ches was asked just about a Morsha who took on an agreement to do a service with Amira alone without a Kenyan. And the Maril cites our Gemara, Afal Gav Dividvarim Ba'alma Nigmar Schiros. A Schiros agreement, when you hire a person, is Chal Ba'amira alone. Kidemuchach Beperek HaShoel, Para B'Mashicho Ba'alam Ba'amira, V'chein Kosu Kamar Ravari Shavidvarim Ba'alma Nikmes Schiros. You see from our Gemara in the beginning of Ashoel that b'amira alone skiras is chal. And he says, v'nira li b'tzarech li tein tam, mai shana miskiras karka, d'nikna b'kasef shtar v'chazaka. Right? Why should skiras adam be different, skiras polim, be different than other kinyanim, which do require kinyanim? Right? So he says, v'hine skiras de gavri. Okay, why don't you take a stab at this line? Tell us what he's saying.
Yeah,
pretty interesting views. It's not clear exactly what he means. I know what he's saying in this line. I think what he's saying is that, look, Schira's Gabra, right, like here, you can use Kesef Shtar and Chazak on a Ben Chorin for whatever reason. Moreover, Schira's Gabra is not like an Eved Kanani, whose goof is Kanoi. This is an interesting thing, because last year we spoke about Poel Gufo Kanoi, whole discussion.
Right.
Yeah, here he just assumes he's not. So he's saying, look, none of those Kinyonim are going to work. So that's why, you know, he's kind of just like a shomer who doesn't really need a kinyan to be appointed. You like shlucho, shein sarach, lo kinyan, v'lo shum davar acher. Everything is chal, but he anad, etzaisi adadi. So, you know, he's trying to like figure out why no kinyan. And he seems to be saying, well, Schiras Gavra wouldn't fit comfortably into any known halachic paradigm that does require a kinyanim. He's not a Eved Knani, so you can't do like the kinyanim that would be kone an object. And so he says, oh, he's more just like a shliach whose appointment is chal ba'amir alone. You have thoughts on this? I mean, I guess he's saying, you know, the Ramban in Sochas Omnin said, oh, kishem sheshar hadvarim niknin b'mashicha, kach schiras polim is niknin b'aschal samalacha. You know, so the Ramban was okay saying that aschal samalacha is the kinyan. Mariel seems to be saying, you know, you just, by process of elimination, there doesn't seem to be any normal kinyan that applies to schiras polel, so that means no kinyan is required. You guys have a thought on this, or...
I sort of like it.
Yeah.
I think also, because most people seem to be avoiding the word Kenyan in general and using the word Mishabed.
That's an interesting point. He says, Hava kishlucho, shein tzarech lo kinyan v'lo shim davar acher. Devahi anah detzaisi adadi, gomri yu makni adadi v'samchi adadi. It's an interesting formulation.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Look here at the Rimel Neil. Look what he's just this one liner. Adam, why don't you take a stab at it? V'afal gav.
V'afal gav, the balim niknim damir mishum shekiven shehodu lo chazru. Even though the balim.
Lo yachzru bahem.
Shehodu lo yachzru bahem mishum tekativ she imiti so lo yasu olav lo yudver kazeh.
Yes, it was just lo yasu avla. You know,
so since that, once. What?
Once you have Amira, once somebody
right.
Say their words,
you can no longer be Chozer.
Not that he can't be Chozer, but he won't be Chozer.
He won't be Chozer.
He knows that it's morally wrong. Shares his Shal Yasu Avla is about, you know, a good Jew doesn't break his word.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that, look, once you have the guy's verbal commitment, that's really enough to create this relationship because you don't back out of your word. It's just strange that anywhere else in the halacha we do require kinyanim, despite Sheiris Yisrael Yasa Avla. You know, this doesn't really explain why Schiras Polim should be any different. It's just strange that he cites this as the basis for triggering a legal relationship with Amira alone. No, isn't this strange, Akir?
I mean, I think it shows that. I mean, it shows one of two things. Like, it's either something like the Mahariel that like what we're talking about here isn't the same kind of legal relationship as you have in all the places you prior kinyanim, or this goes back to what Bailav Imo means. That like his take on Bailav Imo is that it's not about it's not about a, it's about expectations.
That's true. Although, notice the phrase, the Bailim Niknin Ba'amira. So I guess you would say that's a special Kinyan Lanyan Bailavimo.
Yeah.
Right. I just think that language of Niknin Ba'amira sounds general, right? Not like for Bailavimo, maybe you don't even need a Kinyan. You could just say he's Imo B'mlach, though. It's enough that he's, you know, in, he's with you. Right, so the phrase, the fact that he uses Bailam Niknin Ba'amira sounds like this is a general theory of Schiras Gavri or Schiras Bailam. But yeah, here you could say this is a Bailam, this is a special Kinyan with respect to Bailavimo. That's how you would say it, Yakir, right?
I think it's a possibility, yeah.
Yeah, I hear that. Okay, so now I want to just look very quickly. So far all these Rishonim are dealing with the objection, either I think implicitly or explicitly, these Rishonim are dealing with two sugyas. They're trying to reconcile the Mishnah of Bailam Ba'amira with the Gemara of Idan Avidatayu. That's the Shasla Tavcha Mikridardiki sugya. Or they're trying to reconcile it with the sugya in Asokar Se'umnim, which we saw last year, of Haschalas HaMalacha being the basis for suing a Poel for backing out. Right, which implies that Amir is not sufficient. Some Rishonim, and Tosos already raises this implicitly, explicitly at the end of his comments, cite the sugya on Pei Aleph in Bava Metzia as another reason to qualify Bailam Ba'amira. So did you guys get a chance to see this Gemara at all, the Hanu Ahaluye?
Not see this.
Okay, did you get a chance to see this Gemara on Pei Aleph?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'll take us this Gemara very quickly. Basically, the Gemara says, Shmor li v'ashmor lecha, that's in the Mishnah, Shomer Sachar. So if I say, I'll watch for you and you watch for me, we're Shomer Sachars because there's some consideration for the Shmira, right? I'm getting paid by you're doing a favor for me, I'm doing a favor for you. It's not a pure Shomer Chinam. The Gemara says, Amai, why should you be a Shomer at all? Shmir b'baylam hi. Right? If you're actually in the service, the other one, so Shmir B'Bailim, not Shomer Safar. Amar Apava Damar Le Shmor Le Yom V'Ashmor Lecha L'Machar. Break the simultaneity to get out of the Shmir B'Bailim issue. It's the case where you say, I'll watch for you today, you'll watch for me tomorrow, so you're receiving a benefit, but there's no Imo B'Malacha. Everybody see the Gemara's answer? Okay. Great. The Gemara then tells this story. Hanu Ahaluye, so are these either tent makers or they were perfumers, so whatever, they're in some business, merchants. Dechol yoma hava afi la chan minayu. So every day they would appoint one of the members of the business to be the baker for the day. So they would take off turns of Torah. Ahu yoma, one day, amru le chan minayu, they said to one of them, zil afilan, you go and bake for us. Amar Luhu, naturally, Glima, he said, okay, watch my shirt as I go, watch my bike as I go to the oven to bake. Ada'asa Pashuba Vigno. So I guess when he left, before he returned, they were negligent and his bike or his shirt was stolen. So also Lokamidra Papa, Chaivinu. Rabba said, look, these guides were negligent. So they should be chayiv to reimburse him for the value of the item that was stolen. Amar le Rabbanan le Rapapa, the Rabbanan said, they turned to Rapapa, they said, oh, you got the psak wrong. Amai, pshia b'bailam hi. Shouldn't this be a case of pshia b'bailam? He was working for them. He was a baker. He was going to bake for them. So he's in their service. That should eviscerate any liabilities for Shmira that they have to him. So Ichsiv, the Gemara says that our papa was embarrassed. I guess he got the wrong psak. Lisof, Igloi Milsa, Dahu Shaita Shichra Hava Kashasi. But then the Gemara says our papa's psak was actually vindicated because it turned out that when the thing was stolen, or at that moment, Ahu Shaita, he wasn't actually working. He wasn't actually baking, he was drinking beer. So that breaks the Imo Bimlachto Bailavimo relationship. Okay, so that's the Gemara on Pei Aleph. You can see Rashi here says, Igloi milsa hi shaita shichra habashasi, velo haya bimlachtan. He wasn't actually imo bimlacha, shadayin lo hischil lapos, because he didn't actually start his baking yet. You know, he went off, but he started drinking wine. He went to a tavern, he went to a bar instead of doing work. Vinimsa shebisha shenasu heim shomrim lo masar atzmo lios bimlachtan. He had not yet become in their service. Aval im nisasek miyad ba'afa. But had he gone right away to bake and then only drank wine after he baked, uboso shav, that halisa p'shia b'bayelim ha. Then it would have been p'shia b'bayelim. Ho'eluch shenasu shomrim ha'y bimlachtan. Had he gone straight to bake, then it would have been by Lavimo. Since he didn't go right away to bake, he went to the tavern first, it's not by Lavimo. So the question is, how do you reconcile this with the Mishnah in Ashoel, which says Bailam Ba'amira? Right? Or even with the view of Halicha or something, Halicha Likra Samalacha. Let's start with, how do you reconcile this with Amira, right? So you guys see the issue? It seems like there was Amira in this case, right? He says, okay, I'm going to go bake, right? So from the perspective of, did he accept the responsibility? The answer seems to be clearly yes. Was he physically engaged in the malacha? No. Was there a clear haschalas malacha? No. So this Gemara seems to show that haschalas malacha is what's important. Rashi even says, "V'lo hayav b'mlachtan shadayin lo hischil lafos." So, what do you guys think?
Can you make a same? I mean, like the watching case. You watch for me, I watch for you. I might say that I might watch for you tomorrow, but the fact is, even though I accepted it, it doesn't really take effect until tomorrow.
Oh, I think that's a really good point. So, you're saying, Adam, the way to be miyashiv this actually is, look, Amira is sufficient to create the Shibud, but it's only considered by Lav Imo for the duration of the Shibud itself. So if I'm accepting today a Shibud that's going to be Chal in 10 hours, by Lav Imo only begins when the 10 hours begin.
Right.
Not from the moment you accept. Is that your point, Adam?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. So let's see what the Rishonim say. Let's see. Okay, so I think one Rishon who says this clearly is that, or Zerua. Here. Uperish Rabbeinu Baruch Bar Yitzchak Miregensburg. This is the same word Zerua. Davka shenadar lios imo bimlachto b'soch yimei she'elas hapara. Af al pi shenadar kodem ein ze she'ela b'baylim. In order for this to be she'ela b'baylim, right, the amira has to be simultaneous with the actual she'ela. Well, maybe this is not a good way of putting it, actually. Dimashma, and he cites the Gemara Mikri Dardiki. He says, Dimashma shalobi the nebidita yuchayu. Behind utaima shehem mushalim ma'achar she'ela. Right, if you're only mushal after the she'ela goes into effect, then you're not going to have she'ela b'baylem. So, of course, Adam, what you're saying is that it doesn't matter when you verbally accept. It matters what the legal time frame is for the service that you're legally accepting for.
Right? Exactly.
There's a better formulation, I think, of this in the later Rishonim. Let me see if it's right. Um, Yeah. Look at the tour in this discussion. Yaku, do you want to just run us through this tour? Milim Shal?
Milim Shal Sabal, Ministratal
Yashal. Simon Shin Membav. Yeah.
Yeah. Milim Shal Sabal, Ministratal Yashal, Afishal Hiskal, Malachas Shoal, Bishas, Mashiach Sapara.
That's the right view that Amira is not alone. You need some sort of asfalt on Malacha. Yeah. What's this machlokas here? So it's not about Amir alone, but it's about Asfalas HaMalacha or preparation for the Malacha. That's only legally binding when what, Yakir?
That's legally binding when there's no set time for the Malacha to be done. But if there is a set time, you need to wait for, he says until he actually starts the malacha, presumably just wait until that time comes.
Exactly. So like, I think in the baker case, the idea is that, if you're going to bake, so that's like a malacha yidua, like your job is to bake.
Right.
And setting off to bake is not considered as chalas a malacha. Right, so long as you don't actually commence the actual baking, right? So in the when the guy goes off to drink beer, the malacha didn't actually start yet, even though he accepted it prior, and even though he started doing some preparations. It's the only time that amira or preparations would create the kinyan at that moment. Is when it's emasai sheyirtza hashoel yaseh lo melachto. Meaning, if it's the type of case where I could tell you to do work whenever, kivan shem omer lo ata lasosa yasena, nimtza shemayata hushoel lo. Meaning, if it's the kind of thing where I could tell you at any moment, like once you say you'll do it, that I could say, okay, now, then we'll say that the kinyan is chal from this moment, and Bialabima will be triggered from this moment onward. But if it's the kind of thing where there's like a discreteness to the malacha, there's a certain discreteness to the malacha, then it's only considered a kinyan and Bialabima from the moment the actual malacha itself commences. Correct, Ekir?
Yeah.
Yeah, Adam, I think that's exactly along the lines of what you were suggesting, right?
Yeah. The only thing is, are we not concerned about the das that the tent makers, the other tent makers have, where they accept it upon themselves to watch the object? Because theoretically, they assume that they would not be chayiv in case of Shia.
Interesting. On the other hand, you might say they're not licensed or they're not justified in thinking that unless they know that he's actually going to do the malacha right away, right?
Right.
Like his job was to bake for them at some point during the day. It's not clear that he was chayv to bake from the moment he set out.
Right.
But
that's a good point.
Yeah. So let's see the Ravid. The Ravid comments in this. Is that Lashon the Ravid? Yakir, let's see the Sofik Lay Milsa.
The Lashon Ravid, the Sofik Lay Milsa, Shechav Shasi, Bilo Haya, Holy Lafos, Rehu, Kamisha's Hila Shmirasa, Shahale Vasma, Kamisha's Tala.
The rabbi gives a different answer to this problem. All right, what's his answer, Yakir?
He says that, well, first he's relying on his shita that you need to actually be have haskalas malacha or halicha la malacha, and then he says that, well, if he's really interested in drinking first, then his halicha isn't considered halicha malacha, it's considered halicha tzarachatzma.
Yeah, it's a nice chop, right? So yeah. So the Ravid's saying, look, I'm consistent all the way. You need haskalas hamalacha. Earlier I said that halicha likras hamalacha is haskalas hamalacha. That's true if your commute is actually for the malacha. But if your commute is to get beer, and then, you know, it's only from the beer place that you start your malacha, then the initial setting out is for beer, not for malacha. You know, it's like, let's say I drive, you know, I take a train and I drive into YU, I get my my Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and then I show up in the base medrash. So the idea is that, like, you know, my initial commute arguably is for the coffee. You know, it's only from the coffee store to the base medrash that I'm considered haskalas hamalacha. I guess that's the kind of argument the Rav is making, right, Akir?
Yeah. I guess it sounds like it. I mean, it's a difficult argument, especially in that case. There are,
right. Well, I guess presumably... this guy really, really, really was going for the beer.
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, in the Aleluya case, maybe they only kept their beer in the kitchen. Yeah, so, like, he was really going for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Okay.
In your case, presumably there are closer places you could get coffee if you were just interested.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah, let's just take a look at this Ritva, the last sheet I want to look at. The Ritva, basically along the lines of the right, it says, Ilu halach lafos hapas miyad, hare haya imayam bishah shela. Right, so were he to go right away to break, right away to bake, then it would have been Shela Bevilim from the moment he set out. He says, why is that? Because if he was Holech Miyad, it's considered Shela Bevilim, Mishum de Bishas Amira, Nase Shoel, Kivan Shahalach Lasos Malachta Miyad, Below Hafsakas Malacha Acheres. This is a very interesting comment, I think. He seems to be saying that, look, if there's no Hefsik from the Amira until the moment of the Shas Malacha, then the moment of the Amira would be binding as a kinyan. Then the moment of the Amira would create the din of Bailavimo. So the Amira could have legal significance for Bailavimo if there's no hefsek between it and the occurrence of the Malacha. You see that? But if you have an Amira that's then interrupted with a hefsek and a later Haskal Samalacha, then we follow the later Haskal Samalacha rather than the initial Amira. So I think this is actually slightly different from the Ravid, because the Ravid seemed to emphasize more the Haskal Samalacha component, right? The earliest start point, Lishitaso, is when you start Malacha. The Ritva seems to think, no, you could start by Levimo from the moment of Amira, so long as there's no hefsek between the Amira and the actual commencement of performance. Which makes sense, right? What do you think of that view? So it's like Amira doesn't have legal significance on its own, but conjoined with a later uninterrupted Haskal Samalacha, then we'll view the Amira as the critical moment of Haskala or of Shibud. You see that?
Thoughts? It's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I feel like I wonder why he feels the need to say that.
What?
I wonder why he feels the need to say that. So
I guess he wants to preserve Amira as the, you know, binding moment when there's a real Shiva, and right? Mm-hmm. Yakir, you have a thought on this, Ritva?
Not so much. I mean, it seems a little bit stranger than the other answers, but
it sounds less of a Kenyan issue and more of a unique Bailavimo question, right?
A little bit, yeah.
It's just, you know, we're trying to figure out reasonably when could we say your Ima Bimlacha. So if there's like an uninterrupted connection between the Haskalah Samalacha and the Amira, then we'll view it all as Haskalah Samalacha then. Or... All right, good. So that's what I wanted to cover for today. So really the question is, the general theme is what triggers the initial Shibud for Sechiras Poalim / for Ba'al of Imo, Imo B'Malacha. There are four Gemaras that seem to be relevant, our Mishnah on the beginning of Ashoel, the Mikri Dar Diki B'Idin Avidatayu Sugya, the Sugya of in a Umnim of Haskalah Samalacha for Davar HaAved and for suing a Poel who's Chozer. And then the fourth Sugya is the merchants, the Hanu Aluye. And they all seem to pull in different directions about where we could define the Shibud or the Kinyan of Poelim. Is it just Amira? Is it Haskalas Hamalacha? Those seem to be the major points of machlokas between the different Rishonim. And we saw like a whole different range of explanations for why you would think it's one over the other. Any closing thoughts on this, guys? Or
one thought. I find it peculiar, like in the case of Shmira for Shmira, I guess also sort of the case of, you know, I will bake for you if you wash my bike for me. Those, if that's like the language that's being used, it's a little peculiar to me. Because it doesn't really fit with a lot of the frameworks that we use, like a lot of the theories that we use to explain Shmir B'Bailim. It doesn't really fit into a lot of those frameworks. Particular case of Shmira for Shmira. Because it also could be either direction. Just because you instigate the relationship means that you're the one in advantage. Right, like it's the same exact relationship on both sides.
Right, it's reciprocal.
Exactly.
Right. You'd have to say something along the lines that, you know, it's once you create a, you know, it's that's the underlying theory for the rule, but then you could have all these exceptional cases that break the original paradigm, right? Where it's not master servant, it is equal, but yet we still apply the general principle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's not so compelling. All right, guys, shkayach. So I just want to reemphasize, this sugya is really important, not just for Shmir B'Bailim, but as we saw, a lot of Rishonim lean on this as especially the Ma'aril, as you saw, for establishing that Schiras Poalim doesn't require a Maisa Kinyan, right? Because it's B'Bailim Ba'Amir alone, which is a very important Schiras Poalim Makar in general. All right, shkayach, everybody. Looking forward, hopefully, to picking up Bo Basra next year. I guess we'll have to figure out what everyone's schedule is. I know.
Unlikely I'll be there, unless I somehow pick up some of the Two Sigma folks.
Same Yakir. Like, I don't know if he's planning on coming in. But Shkayach for a great Limud and a great Zman.
This is wonderful. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, guys.